Senses, a three-part podcast focusing on disabilities that affect the senses. This episode focuses on speech. Most people don't think of speech as a disability. Instead, you are more likely to think of blindness or deafness. I'm Simon, and I'll be the narrator for each episode of Senses. At an early age, I was diagnosed with dyspraxia, affecting how I move my muscles. Because of this, I was unable to say the letter L until I was 11. This meant, instead of saying yellow, I would say yayo. Michelle Bainham is an independent speech and language therapist who specialises in children's speech therapy, working in both mainstream and specialist schools. I met up with her to discuss my condition.
Okay, so it would be called a phonological speech delay. So it's a normal thing that happens. It's one of the last sounds to develop. So L's and R's are probably the last sounds that we work with in terms of speech and language therapy. It means that the tip of the tongue is not articulating quite as well as it should. So normally to make an L sound, you'd put your tip of your tongue up behind your teeth and then make the sound. Sometimes children will change it to a y sound.
I used to say yayo instead of yellow.
Yeah. So we work on the sound. So in terms of therapy, we would start just with the sound on its own. We might teach you, if you couldn't articulate your tip of your tongue, so if you couldn't get the tip of your tongue up, we may say, put your tongue between your teeth, so you'd make a sound like that rather than a sound like that. And it's just a different technique. And from there, once you can get the sound, we then add a vowel. So we'll do things like lie and lay. Then we'd add a CVC, so consonant, vowel, consonant structure. Yeah. So then you move into like things like laid, little, become more and more complex. And that's how it kind of works.
Although my case is nowhere near the worst, speech therapy is rarely spoken about, and as a result, I want to share my story. With me now being 20, I don't fully remember the details of my speech development, so hopped on a train to Norfolk to speak to my mum.
I think you were in about year 5 or year 6 when you started having speech therapy because it was worrying you.
Was it me, or was it the, I can't remember her name, the head teacher?
Well, you spoke to the head teacher, said that people were taking the mickey out of you because you couldn't say L.
I thought she was the one who said that I should go. I can't remember.
No.
Was she not?
Well, she spoke to me and said that you had spoken to her because you'd been upset in class or something.
It took me 3 to 6 months of speech therapy to learn how to say my L's, but for some, it takes much longer. Michelle describes the process of working with children.
There is always speech sound difficulties. They might not be your primary area of concern, though. So sometimes children will need work on understanding. So until children can understand a word, they can't use a word. And if they can't use the word, they might not be able to say the words. So there's building bricks towards speech and language therapy work. So we often start with their levels of understanding. If they understand, then we move up to expressive language skills. So putting words together to make short phrases. So we'd expect by the time children are in reception year, that they would be using 4, 5, 6 word sentences. From there, once the language side is secure, we would then target the speech sounds.
The most common speech problem is stammers, with 5% of children having a phase of stammer at some stage in their speech and language development. There are a range of factors that can cause stammering. We spoke to Sarah and Sam, who both had stammers for very different reasons in school, but were able to overcome them.
I think there were videos of me from when I was like 2 or 3 and you couldn't really pick up on it. But you know when you get toddlers who just kind of have one anyway, or people in like nervous situations will have one, and it was only in a nervous situation, say like if you were in a class and you had to like say something out loud or whatever, or if you had to like speak out loud from like a paragraph out of a textbook or whatever, I hated doing that. But then people would panic on that anyway. But yeah, I'd say it was probably from since I could start talking, maybe.
For about a year when I was maybe 6 or 7.
What was the reason for your stutter? I don't know. I do not know to this day. I went to speech therapy when, how old are you in year 1? 5? five, maybe a couple of years older, maybe. No, I think I went from year one through to year two, because I remember it wasn't when we were in year three, although I don't think I ever got told a reason for it, and I've never really investigated a reason. Because it's not, I think if it was a massive issue and I couldn't speak in like everyday life, then yeah, I'd be like, right, I need to find out why.
Well, I moved schools at such a young age, it was quite traumatising.
Did you take part in speech therapy? Yeah, I wouldn't say it helped, it was just a little bit. I don't know, they'd hand you like a book and it would be like what a 3-year-old would read it, it'd say like frog, or like it'd have like animals in it, or it'd have like names of things in it, and it'd just have a single word in it, and you'd just have to repeat it until it went, and you'd take them home every week and you'd read them at home, but for me it did not make like the slightest change at all. Again, I just think it was from a nervous position, because I will, like, from a younger age, I was quite a nervous person. I probably say I am a little bit, but I'm not half as, like, nervous over stupid things compared to how I was at age 7, 8, 9. Probably even through to, like, early high school. I hated it. I hated high school to begin with. And I'd say a lot of that might have been because I was just so nervous and just so, like, not kind of out there. I wouldn't say I'm out there now. I wouldn't say I'm like overconfident, or I wouldn't say I'm kind of anything. I'm just kind of normal now, if you know what I mean. Hence why I don't think I really have it that much, until you kind of put yourself in the situation to make yourself nervous and then make yourself have a stutter.
No, but it might have helped. I don't know.
How did I overcome it? Do you know what? I don't really care, if truth be told. I think if you care about it, you're more than likely to panic over it, and it's more likely to become an issue for you to kind of panic over in everyday life. And I don't really see the point. If you have it, you have it, and you just need to make the most of the situation. So it's not a bad thing to have it. Who said it's a negative thing? Do you know what I mean? Okay, yeah, it can hinder, and it can make things harder, although someone might have it and it might be their favourite thing about them. I don't know. It's a personal perspective, isn't it?
Settled in, made some friends, new school, got used to it.
Stammers are common in children of school age and can have a range of causes, as Michelle explains.
There's a lot around the emotional and psychological well-being of the child, and Michael Palin Centre do a lot of work around that kind of area, especially with the families as well, to make sure that there's a lot on confidence. It's very intimidating, I think, if you've got a stammer, to be asked to stand up in front of people. School's very demanding. You have to do lots of speaking and listening. Secondary school is demanding in terms of oral presentations. And if you have a stammer or at risk of stammering, that anxiety that you might stammer just puts on so much pressure. I think there is a lot around anxiety. We do a lot on confidence, and sometimes reading for stammering children is easier. So sometimes we'll suggest that they read rather than speak.
This goes hand in hand with Sam's stutter, which started when he had to move schools. Although every child is different, there are a range of methods that can be used for treating a stammer. She explains some of the treatments that are used to aid those who suffer from stammers.
Yes, I suppose it is a specialist area, so the therapists are specialised in specific techniques. From a mainstream school point of view, we give lots of recommendations, because there's quite a lot of environmental factors that impact on stammering. So we recommend that people maintain eye contact. It's probably one of the most uncomfortable things that we have to do, but it's very important that we say to the child, we are still listening and it's okay. We use quite a lot of Hannan techniques, where we reduce the numbers of questions being asked, because this increases pressure.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of commenting. We also talk to the child, especially if they're old enough, to make sure they take control. So if they get anxious about answering a question in class, we might say, well, how would you like to answer it? Would you like to be told when your turn is coming? Would you like a choice question? So that they can build up in confidence. We also do a lot about breathing, so one of the biggest techniques is for them to take a good breath before they speak. And we give lots of visual cues, so we'll put our hands on the chest to remind them to maybe stop if they're stammering quite badly so that they can take a breath.
Fortunately, stammering never affected me. Instead, I underwent therapy to be able to say my L's, as I felt motivated to overcome some of the bullying I'd experienced.
I wouldn't say that it was that much of an issue. People would sort of, most of the people at the school, bar a few people who'd sort of joined, knew that I couldn't do it. I couldn't say L, so they had a big issue with it until around about year five, where people suddenly sort of picked up on it, because people at sort of a young age don't really notice things. But when you get a bit older, you're much more susceptible to be able to notice the difference between quite very, very different letters that you're using instead. But I can't really remember. I would say the school didn't really help me enough, because it was up to me, and they never said, oh, you can't say L, we should probably get this sorted out before you leave. And if I hadn't have got it sorted out before I left to high school, I probably would have been bullied significantly more than I was. Yeah, it would have led to a lot more bullying, because it would have been, why can't he say L? He's so weird. And you just know that would be the type of thing that happened. And to no extent, my speech therapy is nowhere, or my experience was nowhere near as bad as some people's. That's the truth. But mine was something that was quite an easy fix.
Like me, Sarah and Sam developed their stutter at a young age, but luckily weren't bullied. To make me learn how to say the letter L, I went through 6 months of speech therapy.
I think you saw the speech therapist perhaps once a month for a while, and then she went to the high school once when you were at high school. And you didn't want to see her at school.
Because I stopped. I remember.
I think that was a review 6 months later or something. I think you weren't having treatment for very long.
No, but I can remember. It was just literally. What was it? It was just, I just wanted to get it done, and then I was.
Yeah, and there was only that problem.
Yeah.
And we were practicing at home.
As my mum recollects, I had to do a lot of exercises at home. Michelle explains that repetition is vital in speech therapy.
Yeah, the more the practice, we often say 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes twice a day is better than 10, 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And the more frequency that you do the activities at, the greater the response. So in terms of a programme, we'd kind of hope that a sound would be achieved within 6 weeks. I would say you probably had to move on to blends. So we'd get the sound on its own, so luffer, little, but then we'd want to add things like flower, where you've got the F and the L, or slide, where you're quite likely to have deleted the sound. So that's possibly where you would have gone next.
Michelle says that parents are vital in the process of a child learning language.
We see parents as teachers as much as we are, as much as therapists, so they get specific programmes on areas to work on. But sometimes, if it's too pressurised, it can backfire a little bit. So a lot of if there's speech sound difficulties, sometimes we'll do oral motor work. So we'd ask them to blow bubbles for b sounds, we'd ask them to drink McDonald's milkshakes for k and g, because it works on the muscles at the back of the mouth. So there's little things that we can ask them to do that they won't do any damage with and can be really supportive for the therapy.
She continues to explain the type of treatment I would have received for my impediment, as it was so long ago I can't actually remember, using the letters R and W as examples.
Okay
so right. I would say you would probably be replacing the R with a W, a bit like Jonathan Ross. Okay?
Yeah.
So R would be W.
W.
Okay?
Yeah.
So for a W sound, you have rounded lips. W.
Yeah.
Okay? For a R sound, your top teeth go on your bottom lip and you kind of rub it across.
R. Yeah.
Okay? So what we would start with is doing that. We'd probably use a mirror. Some children find it really difficult to put their top teeth on their bottom lip and go the opposite way. So we'll go ruh. So we can sometimes put things like Nutella or jam or icing, so they've got some proprioceptive feedback into how to position their teeth. So they would begin with a ruh.
Yeah.
So they begin with a ruh. From here, we add a vowel. So maybe E.
Yeah.
So we'd go re.
Yeah.
And then from there, we'd put it into a word. So maybe
that's
real.
A great sentence. Yeah. That makes grammar. That
and then
makes
we put it into a sentence
grammar.
Or a short
the dog
phrase.
Is real.
So
is it?
More.
Wow.
Real.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's true.
Or we'd go something like maybe the real life.
By speaking to Sarah and Sam, it is clear that speech and language development is an issue that a lot of people go through, but is not documented enough or considered a disability. This may be because it is so common and easily treatable through speech therapy with therapists such as Michelle. Bullying seems to be common for many, and it's something that I went through myself, but in a way it worked in my favour, as it gave me the motivation to overcome my speech impediment. Although Sarah, Sam and I do not see impediments as a disability, in the future I would like to see more in the media about speech impediments, so that they can be more widely recognised and accepted in the public eye.